Welcome back to the Up North Podcast. I'm Kirk Bankstad.
It's Kristen Bry.
Oh, I'm Kristen Bry from Eskos, Wisconsin. I didn't know who was going first.
I don't know who doesn't. Does the boyfriend hold up the cue cards for you? Because he's got to pick that up. He's got to get with the program here.
I'm sick. And you know what? My brain is cloudy.
I'm Pat Kreitlow, by the way. And this week, the Republicans who run the Wisconsin legislature wasted some more of your time, more of your tax money by writing, debating, and approving bills they knew had no chance of becoming law. Not just because they know Governor Tony Evers will veto them, but because the bills are direct attacks on our democracy. This is something that starts at the very top. And for Wisconsin Republicans, that's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. In a press release after the bills were passed, Voss said, quote, "In this last presidential election, there was indisputable evidence of irregularities right here in Wisconsin." That's not true. Not one bit. The votes were counted and recounted, and the only irregularity was the amount of rumor mongering from people actively undermining a secure election. So this week's voter suppression bills targeted absentee ballots. That's a very useful way for you to take part in an election when you can't get away to vote in person on a Tuesday. And so we started wondering about, you know, how election days got to be held on a Tuesday in the first place. And that meant we had to send Kristen to the Encyclopedia Britannica, although she's probably too young to know what that is,
to do a little digging.
That's Google with pages. So we asked Kristen to do a little homework on that. What'd you find?
So I had always known that it was about travel time. As far as like needing to, you couldn't travel on Sunday and whatever, but what I actually found out, so basically it's up until 1845, states were allowed to hold their elections anytime they pleased within a 34-day period. At that point, because there wasn't one specific day, like certain states would have their election and the results would come in, and then they thought that it would influence other states. And so in 1845, before most of the states that we have now were even states. Mm-hmm. I mean, by 1845, we probably were hovering around what, 25, 30 states?
Close
in total.
To 30, yeah, yeah.
And so there was a federal law that was that said that you have to have voting on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Now, why that? Because at that point, most citizens were farmers, and so they live far away from where they would have to cast their ballot. And so what day could they actually vote became what days could they actually travel. And so at that point, you couldn't travel on Sunday unless you're going to church for Sabbath, and you had to be back by Wednesday because that was when they went to market, the farmers went to market. So Tuesday became the option, so they could travel on Monday and get back in time by Wednesday. So that's why we voted. That's the reason we voted on Tuesday.
Perfect sense. Crystal clear as to why we're still doing it that way.
And even better is that's also why we vote in November, is because it was after the harvest, and we couldn't do it in the spring because that's planting. And November is after the harvest, but before the winter really kicks in. And so, because again, people were traveling by like horse and buggy. Mm-hmm. And so I just find the irony of the original reason we have Tuesday was to convenience voters. And yeah. Now voting on Tuesday is one of the biggest inconveniences that like keep people from voting. And so, that was the little history lesson there.
Nothing sacred about Tuesday, nothing sacred about November. Arbitrarily picked because of an agrarian economy 170 years ago.
Yeah, that's it.
So as we've discussed, there are a lot of ways that you can solve for this without even having to move the day. You can still have it on a Tuesday in November, but you know, you have early voting. You can do absentee balloting. You can do mail-in elections. You could move the election to the weekend, or you could make election day a holiday. All of these things, but the Republican talking points to justify their bills, I mean, it isn't just about, you know, avoiding fraud, which doesn't exist in the first place in any kind of consequential number. But the point they you hear made frequently is that election day is this sacred single day event when everyone must do their duty, and none of this letting people vote the day before or the week before because election day is on a Tuesday. But, you know, as Kristen points out, there's nothing sacred about it. There's no good reason not to allow other options, no good reason to make voting a burden for those whose jobs or health or distance or family considerations make it unlikely that they'd otherwise take part in their own democracy. So the answer to expanded voting options is not to be, as Kristen had said before, the only advanced democracy that actively works to discourage people from voting, and especially certain people from voting. I mean, that's not what we're supposed to be made of, unless, of course, you're maybe not as committed to democracy as you should be. And that's me putting the ball on the tee for Kirk and his super PAC to swing away.
Yeah. So obviously we have politicians starting with Trump and following in Wisconsin with Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, primarily, who voted against the election results to let Biden become president. And Robin Voss and all his minions on the legislature are acting the same way, that they'd rather have an authoritarian government than a democracy because they're trying to suppress the vote. And so we're just not going to let that fly up in northern Wisconsin. So we just put up a big billboard that reminded everybody that the January 6th insurrection, which was fomented by Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and many others, was an act of war against the United States. And no matter if they say it was tourists that were there or actual military trained domestic terrorists, which it were, we're not going to let them tell that lie. And that's why we're going to keep on putting up billboards and remind Wisconsinites that these guys are lying to them.
The new billboard went up on what highway? Do you remember?
Oh, what highway, Pat? Was it highway 51?
Was it 51?
Right, okay. Yeah, 51 going north, but it's okay. Right after Merrill on State Highway 64. So everyone going up north, no matter if they listen to Fox News or not, will be reminded that that these guys are not telling the truth.
And so this week, HR1, which was the in Congress, the Democrats' catch-all. I mean, it has a lot of stuff in there. Let me try to find my partial list here. It would allow for early voting, drop boxes, which Republicans have been trying to severely limit or restrict. Election day would be a holiday. You could be sent ballots, not just applications for ballots. It would give you time to correct any errors on a ballot. There would be an independent commission to do redistricting, automatic voter registration, prevention of voter roll purges, make it easier to trace your absentee ballot, more public funding of elections, and disclose your dark money donors. There's a lot of things in there, and there was no way Republicans were going to pass it. And frankly, there's Democrats that would like to protect some of these things that are in there. HR 1 was set up as a symbolic bill more than anything else a couple of years back before Democrats were in the majority. And now there's a battle within the party of how much of this do you go to the mats for, and how much of it do you say, well, you know, is aspirational, we'll try to come back to it at some point. Because I mean, look, voter ID is something that Democrats are very much opposed to, but it has majority support of Americans right now. So, you know, which, even though, again, there's no fraud that it's been causing. So there's a lot that's got to be debated on this, but it seems like, Kristen, the one thing that, you know, really shouldn't be up for debate is putting up barriers and limiting everybody to just a few hours on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely feels like if you're going to limit it to one day at all, I know that part of my research, when I found this, there's like a group of politicians and advocacy people trying to like move it to a weekend, make it a holiday. Like, there's so many other things besides as is that we could do to kind of to encourage more people to vote. So like, there's really no argument that they can hold as to keep it white as is, I think. Yeah.
I can't believe maybe I just live in a bubble. Of course I live in a bubble, but like, how can Republicans convince Americans that all this limiting of the opportunity to vote is the right thing? Like, how do they convince them time and time again that this is like what they should be voting for, or why they should be supporting the Republican Party, when they just try to take the vote away from so many people?
Well, and that is the thing that has to be put out there, that even if H.R. 1 doesn't pass, you can still call attention to the extremely restrictive bills that are being passed by some legislatures and being passed by this legislature, although it'll be vetoed by Governor Evers. But I think the point that has to be made is that this has a lot of similarities to the Affordable Care Act. Because of all the pressure that Republicans and conservatives put on it, you had a whole bunch of Americans saying, "I'm opposed to Obamacare." Well, then they break it down into pieces and say, "Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Oh, I like those things." Well, that's the Affordable Care Act. And as it turns out, and another Monmouth University poll this week made clear that when you just go through the elements of political reform, it gets the elements in H.R. 1 get 68% public support, including 57% of Republicans. So the public support is there. It's just a matter of getting the politicians to finally listen to their constituents. We'll take a break here. And when we come back, Heather Dubois-Bornon, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, will join us to talk about this state budget debate and what it is not doing to help out schools that are deeply cash starved. You're up north.